exhausting.
So the challenges we talked about a moment ago in deciphering the situation in Syria, in Bahrain, and in Yemen in terms of the pro-democracy movement, which seemed so, I guess it's not fair to say effortless in Egypt, but certainly the live shots in Tahrir Square, the sort of revolutionary movement and exuberance that we all saw months ago is not matched by those other countries. And the challenges can be brought squarely to the White House, where the Obama administration has had to deal with all of these revolutions. And it's fair to say that that's been a transformative moment for the Obama administration, which possibly had very different expectations coming into office in 2009. Joining us now is Ryan Lizza, Washington correspondent for The New Yorker magazine. His latest article, The Consequentialist, How the Arab Spring Remade Obama's Foreign Policy. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we were talking about the challenges in Syria, where the U.S. relationship with Israel and Iran complicates an effort to determine what to do there. Would you say it's fair to characterize the Obama response to all of these revolutions as reactive?
I think that's right. Everything is being dealt with on a case-by-case basis, which is, you know, the only way to deal with foreign policy in some ways, right? Our relationships with each one of these countries is different and is complicated by various factors. As you pointed out, looking in hindsight, Egypt and Libya were easier cases, right? In Egypt, we fortunately had a military that everyone at the end of the protests agreed was the part of Egyptian society that could sort of take over after Mubarak left, and you had an Egyptian military that decided it was there to preserve the country and the safety of the citizenry rather than the leaders, which is not the case in some of these other states. And in Libya, you know, looking at it, it was a slightly easier case because you had an army marching on a city that was about to be perhaps leveled. So you had a very clear case for intervention to save Benghazi. These other situations are much more complicated right now.
I'm wondering if you get a sense in toto of this opportunity or this moment in history for the Obama administration. I mean, his foreign policy began in some sense with that historic speech in Cairo. It seems like eons ago at this point. But do you sense that the administration sees this as interesting times to be in the White House or a catastrophe waiting to happen, and that they're very hesitant, and that this leading from behind is all about hesitance and reluctance, not about leadership?
I think sometimes it can look like that, and sometimes it is because they genuinely don't know what to do at certain points as these crises unfold. But what I think happened in the first year is that President Obama came into office with a couple of theories about his approach to the world, but very specifically to the Middle East. One was that the catastrophe of the Iraq War and the sort of backlash really that had been building up against the United States since the end of the Cold War, and that historically happens with any single great power in the world, resentment forms in the world. And that peaked with what happened with the Iraq War. And so Obama approached the Middle East with a very sort of modest, soft-spokenness theory of non-intervention, didn't even want to talk about democracy because many people in the Middle East associated it with the project in Iraq. I think he probably went too far in that approach to the point where we weren't pressing some of these regimes as hard as we could. The second part of that was engagement with every region, every regime in the region, no matter their human rights or record on democracy. The two great examples, Syria and Iran, where we tried, or the Obama administration tried, to have more of a dialogue, try to repair relations with both countries. And what happened in Iran is we tried to engage the regime, and something called the Green Revolution happened, and it greatly complicated that strategy because it left us trying to dialogue with a regime that essentially became a military dictatorship. And that really scrambled the politics of the region. That was the first big event. And by the end of 2002, I think the Obama administration started to realize this. They started to rethink their strategy towards the regime. And just as they were finishing the process of rethinking that, these revolutions exploded.
Right. So tell us about the foreign policy advisors who are most influential in the administration now, Thomas Donilon and Dennis McDonough. I mean, do they believe that irrelevance is preferable to being reviled in the world as a matter of policy?
I don't think so. Look, I think Donilon and McDonough, who are a bit of, you know, they're sort of, their ideology is very opaque. And you talk to some Obama advisors who will say they don't really have an ideology. That Dennis McDonough, the deputy national security advisor, comes from Capitol Hill. He's sort of a political operator. And that Donilon is a former lawyer, lobbyist, and Democratic strategist. And he's much more of a manager, someone who makes sure that the NSC process runs properly and efficiently. You know, to the extent that they have an ideology and that I've been able to tease it out, they're realists. They are not crusading Democrats. They're not crusading liberal internationalists. They, especially Donilon, believes in the importance of great power relationships, really fixing our relationship with China, fixing our relationship with Russia. And so that sometimes put them at odds with some of the liberal internationalists in the administration who thought it was much more important, rather than concentrating strictly on our relationship with states and regimes, that we should have a much broader focus on engaging societies and the people of these countries. That was a big ongoing debate in the first year and a half, 2 years.
The consequentialist, that's the title of your article. Is that your word, or is that an Obama administration word, or did Remnick come up with that?
Which one?
The consequentialist.
The consequentialist actually does come from an Obama advisor.
Wow. Interesting.
Originally.
All right. A new form of realism. It could be the legacy of the Obama administration. Ryan Liz is Washington correspondent for The New Yorker magazine. His article, The Consequentialist, How the Arab Spring Remade Obama's Foreign Policy, is in the current issue. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.